ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्याज्ञानञ्जन शलाकाय चक्षुर्नीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
This chapter is entitled Vibhuti Yoga. It's called in English the Opulence of the Absolute, and in Hrvatsky, whatever it is. Yeah, but in different language. The internal opulences of the Lord and His external opulences are not the same. Bhagavan means who is replete with six principal opulences. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriyaha jnana vairagya yoschaiva shannang bhaga itingena. The six principal opulences are all wealth, aishvaryasya samagrasya, all power, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. In this chapter, Lord Krishna gives examples of opulence within the material world. As he says at the end, yad yad vibhuti mad sadvam. Whatever is something very great within this world, it is but an indication of Krishna's opulence. Is that sthavaranam himalayah, that among immovable objects Krishna is the Himalayas, or meru shikarinamaham, among mountain peaks. Meru is a representation of Krishna. So these are certainly opulences. If we see in the material, who has seen the Himalayas? Has anyone been? Someone here must have been, apart from me. Anyone? No? No one went to the Himalayas. Anyway, it doesn't matter. More important is to go to Mayapur and Vrindavan. Who's seen a lion? Raganam cha Ragendroham. We've all seen lions in the zoo. So among the animals, Krishna says, I am the king of the animals, the lion. So did you ever come close to a lion? You can get quite close. It's quite impressive, isn't it? You were 2 years in Africa. How close did you get? There was no cage in between? There was a cage. Even then, it's quite frightening, isn't it? Especially if he's in a bad mood. If he's in a bad mood, inside the cage, they're mostly in a bad mood. So would you if you were kept in a cage. So it's quite frightening. I remember once in Copenhagen, Denmark, Copenhagen. We were there collecting funds for our Bangladesh adventures many years ago. So I went to chant our rounds in the zoo. And I got quite close to a tiger who was in a cage and in a bad mood. And it's quite frightening when he roars. He knows he can't do anything to you, but that's even more frustrating to him because he'd like to maul you. So these animals, they're impressive. I remember also in that zoo seeing a crocodile. His eye was so much envy. Such a nasty creature. And she's a jiva, pure devotee of Krishna, but he has adopted the mode of envy, deep envy. You can see that to some extent that's very much so also in the eyes of a snake, and to some extent in the eyes of a cat, even domestic cat. That streak of envy is there in them. So these powerful animals, they also represent some of the opulence of Krishna. But that's not the same as his internal opulence. That's just, as Krishna says, he describes, in the end of this chapter, yad yad vibhuti mat sadvam srimad urjitam eva va tat tat eva vagacchat tvam mabha tejong sa sambhavam. That all of these opulences that I've described, they spring from but a spark of my splendor. Just a little, tiny a reflection of Krishna's internal opulence, his spiritual opulences of the spiritual world. Anyway, the point is being made here that one who understands Krishna's opulence, he takes to Krishna's devotional service. That is repeated in the next verse, very famous verse, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, everything is generated from me. Then he says the same thing again in another way, matas sarvam pravartate, everything comes from me. Iti madva, those who consider this, bhajante mam, they engage in my devotional service, buddha bhava samandita, being enlightened by knowledge of my opulence, they engage in my devotional service with loving feelings. So knowledge of Krishna means to know his opulences, and bhakti means feelings. Bhakti means those feelings are expressed as service, but one serves Krishna out of love. There are different levels. At a primary stage of God consciousness, one serves him out of fear. Fear God. If you don't believe in God, you will burn in hell. Well, that's true, but that's not the best reason for serving him. There are better reasons for serving. Bhakti means to serve Krishna bhava samandita, with feelings. And in the higher levels of bhakti, that's especially the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this, that one has no knowledge. One's love is so substantial that even knowledge of Krishna's opulence is not required, because, or not even wanted, not even desirable, because one has such an intimate, loving feeling for him that knowledge of his opulence would be an obstacle in loving him. And even though the Vrajva, this is particularly true of the Vrajvasis, even though they have such love for him, they may know, or they may be reminded from time to time of his supremacy, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna once showed the Vrajvasis the vision of Vaikuntha, and many times he showed his superhuman powers, Atimartyena Bhagavan, that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kritavan Kila Karmani Saharamena Keshava, Atimartyena Bhagavan, Guha Kapatamanusha. That Krishna and Balaram performed many wonderful superhuman activities, but they were masked in doing so. They were pretending to be human beings, although they never are, but they appeared to be so to two classes of people. One who was so much in love with him that they couldn't imagine that Krishna and Balaram are ordinary person, are anything but ordinary person. They're so much in love with him that Mother Yashoda thinks, if Krishna doesn't, come home. He has to come home. Otherwise, if we don't feed him, then he'll starve. Although he's feeding the whole universe. And another, out of envy, failed to recognize, just like Shishupal said, well, what's all this praise of Krishna? He's just some cowherd boy who arrogated himself to the position of a prince, and he was so scared of Jarasandha, he ran away, and then, you know, they say he chastised some Kaliya, just some water snake, and then some little snake, and then he killed Kamsa when Kamsa was a little inattentive. Otherwise, he could have never killed him. And he couldn't imagine that Krishna is so great. He denigrates his position. So, in between the superlative level of bhakti and the level of envy of Krishna is this level, understanding Krishna's opulences, and thus engaging in his devotional service. And as I'm saying, on the higher level, even knowledge of Krishna's opulences is considered a contamination. It's not a material contamination, but it's blocks the path of superlative loving devotion. So how is that? Because bhakti, bhakti, the essence of bhakti is bhakti ras. It's liquid. If there's a liquid, you can't predict where it's going to go. Although in the case of the devotees of Vrindavan, it always flows towards Krishna. That Kunti Devi was praying to Krishna that may my bhakti flow towards you like the Ganga. What is that verse? Matir Madhu Patesa. How does that begin? Vishayan Matir Madhu Patesa Krit Sakrit Ratim Mudvahatad Gangi Bogamudangati. She is praying that may my bhakti flow towards you just like the Ganga flows very strongly. May my bhakti ever rush towards you. So bhakti is liquid. Yeah. In bhakti is unpredictable. How the devotee will behave towards Krishna. In the pure level, the highest level, Krishna is highly unpredictable. You never know what he's going to do. And the devotees also, it's always changing. There's always, that's what makes Krishna's pastimes, one feature, they're so wonderful. Always new, always fresh, always something different. You never know what's going to happen, but it's always wonderful because Krishna is wonderful. So, bhakti is liquid nectar, rasa. And gyan is solid. Gyan means, you know, it's fixed. It's like this. He's God. He's the Supreme. Everyone should surrender to him. In bhakti ras, that higher level, surrender to him? Well, he's just... We defeated him in the fight today. We were playing, fighting, and we defeated, and he surrendered to me. Why should I surrender to him? They don't know this. Sharanagati is the basis of bhakti, but the Rajvasi's Sharanagati or surrender is so developed that they don't know this word even. It's love beyond surrender. Prabhupada said that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings begin where the Bhagavad Gita ends. Bhagavad Gita brings us up to the point of Sharanagati. Savadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. This is the highest teaching that Krishna gives, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings begin, that is the beginning of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Love beyond surrender. There's one lecture Prabhupada gave on this that was titled Love Beyond Surrender.
So this knowledge of his opulence, Krishna is stating here, this is Bhagavad Gita. This is not Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Bhagavad Gita. Not that they're independent works, they're both interdependent. There's no Chaitanya Charitamrita without Bhagavad Gita. That's Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge is developed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the actual teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they're not different works, so they don't have a different, purport. But to understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to understand fully, one has to go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhagavad Gita is the introductory study, but even that, it's very high level. Sometimes we talk about, well, we want to hear some higher knowledge, but for most people, a higher knowledge is to understand we're not the body. And we're still trying to understand that. We're still very much on the bodily platform. So this is, Bhagavad Gita is so high that most people cannot even begin to understand it. And then Srimad Bhagavatam is even more developed. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita is the definitive explication of all the Vedic teachings. And we say definitive, but then again, it's very difficult to define Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy. There are some attempts there. Rupa Goswami has described the stages of prema up to mahabhav. So the symptoms may be described, but that ecstasy, or that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that bhakti ras, which he experiences and in various levels distributes, that is free. It is not restrained. The free love for Krishna, that one may, in that free love for Krishna, he may sometimes embrace his devotee, or the devotee may, he may sometimes apparently reject the devotee. Everything is unpredictable. When the devotees may say to Krishna, I never want to see you again. Don't ever speak to him. Radharani will speak to other gopis. Don't ever speak to me about Krishna again. All the gopis made one resolution. From now on, we're not going to talk about Krishna anymore. We're not going to think about Krishna anymore. It's simply troublesome. We gave everything to Krishna and he doesn't care about us, so let's just forget about him. But then they found out it's impossible. We can't stop thinking about Krishna. We can't get this poison out of our system. So that poison they're saying it's like poison, but it's very sweet. That is the nature of Krishna prema. It seems like poison, but it's very sweet. And just the opposite in material life, it seems very sweet, but it's horrible. So just the opposite. The devotee will say so many things, that Krishna is cheating us. That cheating is the highest ecstasy. That Krishna will go to the trouble of cheating. He loves you so much that he'll cheat you. He'll take the opposite. He'll personally cheat you. So these things are very difficult to understand. So they're not within the realm of understanding. This chapter is Vibhuti Yoga. So even Krishna's spiritual opulences, Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashasya, Jnana Vairagya Yoshcheva, Shannang Bhaga Itingina. Even Krishna's material opulences, spiritual opulences of the spiritual world, even that is not sufficient to explain Krishna. Nothing sufficient to explain Krishna. He's not explainable, and that's the wonder of Krishna. That's why Krishna is Rasikshekha, the king of enjoyers. That's why his position is even more than that of Narayan, which doesn't seem to make sense, because Narayan sits on a big throne and Krishna sits on his mother's lap. And sometimes she throws him off. Oh, the milk's boiling over. Quick, put him aside. Narayan is the respected lord of Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan, like the cowherd boys, they'll jump on Krishna's back and tell him, his mother's calling him, come home. Come home and take your meal. And the cowherd boys say, Krishna, if you leave in our play, we won't ever play with you again. So Krishna's afraid. Oh, Krishna's in a dilemma. My mother is calling that your father, Nanda, is waiting. Everyone's waiting for you to come. You can't take his meal. Oh. And so one side, mother, she's going to get angry with me, and Nanda, I'm holding up his meal. And the other side, my friends are calling that if you go away now, we won't ever play with you again. So Krishna's perplexed what to do. And Krishna appears to be like an ordinary boy. Narayan's position is very grand. But it's precisely because Krishna has these loving exchanges that he is Prem Purushottam. His position is above that of Aishwarya Purushottam. Prem Purushottam, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is characterized by Prem, that love which is beyond apparent opulence. And Narayana, he is exhibiting opulence, but the loving exchanges, such as are exchanged in Vrindavan, that even in Vaikuntha Loka of Narayana, that is not experienced. The Vaikuntha Vasis, the residents of Vaikuntha, they could not imagine jumping on Narayana's back. It's not imaginable. It's not allowable. It's a great offense. But if in Vrindavan all the cowherd boys are all of a sudden to start chanting Vedic hymns to Krishna, it would just be inappropriate. What is inappropriate in Vaikuntha, jumping on Narayan's back? So that is inappropriate. And in Vrindavan, offering Vedic hymns to Krishna, that's inappropriate. So it's the same Supreme Lord, but the bhava, the feelings towards him are more. So this jnana, knowledge of his opulences, that is solid and fixed. Now that is required. Krishna says here that this knowledge, who has this knowledge of me, he engages in devotional service to me. So knowledge means it's something fixed. The water can flow, the bhakti ras can flow through a fixed channel. You make a canal or you have a hose pipe and the water flows through it. There's fixed the feelings for Krishna. They have to go along a fixed route. Otherwise, if we say, well, we just have feelings, but there's no proper guidance for those feelings, then it just becomes a mundane sentiment. And it won't go in the right direction. We may have feelings for Krishna, but if those feelings are not solidified by knowledge of Krishna's greatness, how we have to surrender to him, and of the process of devotional service. Now we're not talking about the Vrajavasis. We're talking about the residents of the material world. One of those rules is, don't have shoes in the temple room, even for little babies. So, if we don't follow this process, then that sentiment for Krishna that cannot develop properly, and it will become mixed up with mundane sentiment. And our so-called bhakti will remain on the mundane platform. We see many, many people like this in India who Prabhupada more than once said, everyone in India is a devotee of Krishna. Everyone, or at least many, many people have some sentiment for Krishna, just like Janmashtami festival. In Bombay, they at our Juhu temple, we have three ISKCON centers there, and at the Juhu temple, they estimate that more than 1 million people visit every day on Janmashtami, every year on Janmashtami day. So from morning till night, and it extends right up till early morning, they have crowd control. It's a big thing. It's a major event in Bombay, more than in Vrindavan. I was there once in Vrindavan at Janmashtami. It's not such a big festival, actually. Govardhan Puja at Govardhan, then you get more than 1 million people there nowadays at Govardhan. It's a huge event, Govardhan Puja. Actually the biggest festival at Govardhan is not Govardhan Puja Day, it's Guru Purnima, Sanatan Goswami's appearance day or disappearance day. So he's the guru of the Rajvasis at that time. So many people come at that time. Huge crowds. It's like thick crowds for the whole, whatever it is, 14 kilometers. So is it 14 miles, 21 kilometers? I can't remember exactly. But anyway, it's just huge crowds for more than 24 hours, completely packed all the way around. So, anyway, the point that we're making here is there are many devotees of Krishna and all over India, the various forms of Krishna, Sri Ranganatha Swami and Gopal Krishna in Udupi and in Badrinath, Badrinarayana, so many forms of Krishna, and many people are devoted to him, but not many people follow in the way that Prabhupada has taught us, as Rupa Goswami has taught us. Because mostly they take it as in some sentimental way, and then also worship different demigods, and often they'll mix up Krishna with Sai Baba, they say Sai Ram, and so many ridiculous things. So, because of lack of knowledge of actually who Krishna is and of the proper process of devotional service, their bhakti remains on the mundane platform and often offensive also. Just like if you mix up Krishna worship with so many different demigods, so some offense is there. And especially if you consider Krishna to be, or some Sai Baba to be Krishna, then that's very offensive. So some tendency towards bhakti is there. But due to lack of proper knowledge, the rasa becomes infected with, it remains a material rasa and a poisoned rasa. And it doesn't go towards Krishna, doesn't flow towards Krishna properly. Twaime matnanya vishaya matir matur pate sukripa timud vahatadada gange vauga mudanvati. Kunti Devi was praying that my bhakti be without devotion to any other topic, let my bhakti flow towards you as the Ganga flows towards the sea. So this the knowledge of Krishna, who he actually, what is the meaning of bhakti? Otherwise we have bhakti for Krishna, we have bhakti for our family members, we have bhakti for our country, we have bhakti for different demigods. But then what is the meaning of bhakti? Just if you define bhakti like this, then it becomes just any feeling is bhakti. But just bhakti is not just any feeling. Bhakti has to be for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for Krishna. Of course, in other forms of the Lord, Narayana, his various incarnations, Ram, Nrsimha, Varaha, Kurma. Of course, there are many devotees of Rama and Narayana, Lakshmi Narayana, and of Nrsimhadev. And there are some temples of Kurmadev, Vamanadev, and others, not so many. Then a Buddha is also worshipped, but that's Chalayasi. That's Vamandev is tricking, but Buddha Dev is also tricking. Tricking the demons. Buddha is an incarnation for the demons. So we don't worship him, because that's a mode of, even though he's Vishnu, but the mode of worship is one adopted by the demons. So Vaishnavas worship him by not following his teachings. That's the best way to worship him. And we worship him. Nindasi yagya vidhera haha shuti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghata keshava dhrita buddha sharira jaya jagadisha. We worship him but when we sing das avatar stotram. Otherwise, there's no standard system in Vaishnav Dharma for worshipping Buddha Dev. So these different forms of the Lord are to be worshipped. This is bhakti. But if we say Shiva bhakti, or Durga bhakti, or Desha bhakti, love of our country, this is not bhakti. This is misuse of the word. So proper knowledge is to be understood. Why Krishna demands sarvadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja? Why he demands that, and why that is to be followed? Why that is wholly apt in the case of Krishna? And why the jivas only benefit? The only path, ekayana pantha, the only path of benefit for the jiva, as compared to so many other paths, bahvayana pantha. It's so many other paths we can follow. But Krishna says, surrender to me only. So if we understand, what are his opulence? He is so great. We are so small. We are completely dependent upon him. It is our self-interest to surrender to him. How to follow? So this knowledge is given. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Vidhi, this should be done. Nished, this should not be done. So all these rules and regulations are there so that the feelings for Krishna are channeled properly in a manner that we can become purified. The purification comes not exactly from following rules and regulations. Simply following rules and regulations in themselves do not, they are not in and of themselves symptoms of purification. But the rules and regulations are to foster the bhakti bhava. The feeling for Krishna, the feeling that I am Krishna's. And when one is in a very high level, then one feels Krishna is mine. But these rules and regulations, they are centered around hearing and chanting about Krishna. This gives purification. Shravanam gives purification. Nashta prayesh bhadreshu nityang bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyutama shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. By hearing about Krishna from devotees, then all the dirty things in the heart are clean by hearing and by chanting. Cheto darpana marjanam. The first effect of chanting the holy names of Krishna is that the heart is cleaned of dirty things. So the rules and regulations, they facilitate hearing and chanting and the attitude that is to be imbibed from hearing and chanting. What is the meaning of purification? Well, it means becoming free from Kam, krod, lob, moha, mada, madsarya. Lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, and madness. It means that, but there's a positive side also. The positive side is yasyang vai shuyamananam krishne paramapurushe bhaktir utpadyate pumsa shokamoha bhayavaha. By hearing, by going on hearing and hearing, one's feelings, loving feelings for Krishna arise within the heart, and naturally all negative feelings, lamentation, fear, illusion, they're all dissipated as our loving feelings for Krishna arise. So this purification means to become freed of those coverings of the soul that come from envy of Krishna, and to uncover our loving feelings for Krishna. And when the loving feelings for Krishna are fully awakened, then the tendency to be attracted only to Krishna, that is perfect and complete. And therefore the full freedom is there in Krishna consciousness. The full freedom, one can be so free, one can slap Krishna on the back. One can climb on his back. That freedom that is even beyond gyan. When one's feelings become so much developed, then even knowledge of Krishna that is required, that solid understanding that Krishna is supreme, I am to surrender to him, that becomes superfluous and even not wanted for one whose loving feelings for Krishna are so much developed. But as long as they're not developed, then that canal is needed, knowledge of Krishna and his opulences. And as Krishna states here in this verse in Bhagavad Gita, for those whose loving feelings for Krishna are yet to be aroused, knowledge of Krishna is essential. Otherwise, how are we going to have any feelings for Krishna if we don't know anything about him? Why should we think of Krishna as being anyone very special if we don't know how he's special, why he's special? Why should we have any interest in bhakti whatsoever? Knowledge of him is required. Therefore, Prabhupada so much wanted these books distributed, because Prabhupada said, why are we so much emphasizing on this book distribution? Because it is giving knowledge. What is that knowledge? Knowledge of Krishna, and knowledge of the process of devotional service, and knowledge of the ultimate goal. This is sambandha, abhideya, prayoja. All this is given in Shastra, especially Bhakti Shastra, these Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're Bhakti Shastras. They're not books to help people on the gradual path. This is the direct path. Direct path to Krishna. They're not dealing with worship of demigods or Vedic sacrifices in the Karmakanda section or doing pranayama and physical yoga. But directly, they give direct knowledge. This is bhakti tattva vigyan. This is scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. A bhagavat tattva vigyan. Scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead and the process of approaching him. So knowledge is required. Knowledge of Krishna. Otherwise, where is the question of ever coming to bhakti? And without knowledge of bhakti, how to perform it properly, then we can't perform it properly. It sounds like a silly statement, but it's worth considering. consider, if we don't know how to perform properly, then we're never going to perform it properly. So those who do not take the trouble to acquaint themselves with the bhakti shastras, or those who do not take guidance from a spiritual master, those who just say, well, I just love Krishna. This is superficial. Without knowledge of Krishna, then that love of Krishna, that those feelings, we may think I have very strong feelings for Krishna, but those feelings, if they're mixed up with material desires, then that can never please Krishna proper in the manner that he wants. You can never satisfy Krishna. Bhukti, what is that? Bhukti mukti, spriha yavat, pishachi hridi vartate. Tavat, bhakti sukhasyatra, katama bhudayo bhaved. As long as the witch-like desires or the witch-like tendencies towards material enjoyment and liberation from this material world are within the heart, then how can we taste the happiness of bhakti? It is not possible. So one has to know what actually is bhakti. If we think, well, bhakti is just feeling, and I have so much feeling, so I don't need to read all these books, I don't have to follow all these rules, because I just have so much feeling. But that feeling must be mundane. To think that we don't need the guidance of the acharyas, to think that we're stuck in this material world, but just somehow or other we happen to be on the level of the eternally liberated Brajavasis, who they don't need the books. Just to imagine ourselves to be on that level, it's an imagination, and it's offensive to the acharyas, and it's offensive to Krishna. And this so-called bhakti must be mixed up with so many funny ideas. Just to give one example that's given in maybe that one book by Hayagriva, I think it is, Vrindavan Days. I think it's given in there. So they were in Radha Damodar Temple, and so many deities are there. Actually, it's Radha Damodar's temple, but they brought so many deities there, and you might think that's very nice, but it's not very nice, because the reason there are so many deities there, you'll find so many pairs of Radha Krishna deities there, is that the previous temple managers, they took the deities and put them all in one temple gradually, and then they sold off those temples and their lands for their own selfish motives. So there are so many deities there. So one, the gosai, the temple proprietor, as they consider themselves, they're supposed to be servants, but they consider themselves the proprietors of the temples. So he asked, it was Hayagriva, that which one do you like best, pointing at the deities? What are you to say, which do you like best? They're all deity forms of life. He said, well, I like that one best. He reminds me of George the Sixth, King of England. So totally, so yeah, we love Krishna. I like this one, but you see, I like him very much. I have a lot of feeling. I really like that one because he reminds me of George the Sixth. So he feels that he has feeling, but so mundane. This is not Rupanuga Bhakti. Yesterday was the appearance day, Rupa Goswami. So one should become a Rupanuga devotee by following Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, understanding what is bhakti, understanding who is Krishna, so that our bhakti may flow properly towards Krishna. Otherwise it will just all dissipate here and there and get mixed up with the sewage water of material contamination. So this festival we're about to have is a festival of Shravan Kirtan, hearing and chanting about Krishna. It's, we don't want to have a festival of gossip. Socializing may be there, but that socializing should be when we meet devotees. How is your devotional service progressing? Not, you know, how is your dog, how is your cat? Not this kind of discussion. The Shravanam Kirtanam. No mundane politics and not even spiritual politics. Is there such a thing? Well, in Dwarka we find Akrura and Kritavarma, pure devotees of the Lord, they were making some plot against Krishna. It's pretty difficult to understand, isn't it? And in Vrindavan, sometimes the followers of Radharani and the followers of Krishna, actually they're all in the same camp, but Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bihi, in the blissful, all transcendental pastimes of the Lord, they appear to be plotting against each other. So, we want to keep the Ras here, thinking of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And what is required to go there, beginning with Bhagavad Gita as it is, Savadhaman Parittaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So, with no mundane gossip, frivolous talks, even ISKCON politics, that unfortunate phenomenon. We don't want that. We shall hear and chant from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll taste the nectar, hearing about Krishna and Balaram. Tomorrow we shall hear from Balaram. Purnachandra Prabhu will speak on Lord Balaram. He's very much qualified to do so. He studied so many shastras with the feeling of a devotee. So we shall discuss these topics and be happy on that platform. As Balaram told Rukmini, that you cultivate a philosophical approach to life. Be happy on that platform only. Sweet, smiling Rukmini. Are there any questions about this? Yeah, please ask. This is from the Ten Commandments. The second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, and? Well, it doesn't say if you love your... This is one of Jesus' Ten Commandments. This is like the summary of his teachings. Now, he didn't say that... He didn't say that Madhava Seva is Madhava Seva. He didn't say that... He didn't say that love of man is love of God. But these were the instructions he gave to his followers. Number one is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And number two is love thy neighbor as thyself. But he didn't say that loving your neighbor is the same as loving God. He didn't say that. Someone might have misinterpreted like that, but he didn't say that, actually. Is that? Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying, because you were making, you're about to make a question, but the premise was wrong. So I was correcting the premise. The question becomes meaningless if the premise is wrong. Just like someone asks, are you still beating your wife? So, based on the premise that he's beating his wife. But if he's not beating his wife, then there's no question of, is he still beating his wife? Yeah, so. Can anything but love for Krishna be called bhakti? Not in the strict sense of the term, no. That I was saying in the class. Vaishnav to Vaishnav, that is with Krishna in the center. So So we say Guru Bhakti. But that Guru Bhakti is not independent of Krishna Bhakti. If the Guru is not a Vaishnav, then he's not a Guru. And Bhakti to such a Guru is not Bhakti. That's a mundane sentiment by which both the Guru, so-called Guru, and the so-called disciple go further away from Krishna. So it's not at all Bhakti. It's opposite to Bhakti. He's instructing the disciples in how to go to hell more, how to be more envious of Krishna. So actual Guru Bhakti is based on the principle Sakshat Dharidvena Samasta Shastra Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadvi Kintu Prabhu Yah Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. We worship Guru as good as God, because he is very dear to Krishna. Because he is very dear to Krishna, he doesn't say, worship me. He says, worship Krishna. You follow, he doesn't say, do what I say. He says, do what Krishna says. But Krishna says, Acharyang mang vijani yannava manyeta karhichit namadya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva maya guru. That the guru is to be respected as good as Krishna, and not considered an ordinary person. He is the representative of all the demigods. Because Krishna says that, the Guru says it, because he's following Krishna. But he doesn't say you worship the Guru, and as some say, that you worship the Guru and no need to worship Krishna. No need to worship. The Guru is God, as good as. So no need for worship of Krishna. The real Guru never says that. And he's not a Guru. Kick him in the face with boots, as Prabhupada used to say. Any other question? How important is it for devotees to be natural and not be artificial? This is a very dangerous subject. I'm being natural. I feel like I should watch TV, so I should just do it. Why should I be artificial? Well, natural, and we can be natural when we come to the, when we're completely pure, then natural actually means to love Krishna. And anything but that is not natural, it's unnatural. That's called swarasiki siddhi, our natural inclination to worship Krishna. As long as that is not awakened, we have to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, because we're crazy people. We're not natural. Natural means to be sane, and we're not sane. Therefore, we have to follow the rules and regulations to become sane. So if we say, well, I'm just acting natural. I just feel like going into the ice cream parlor and enjoying myself. Yeah, you feel like that because you're in Maya. That's not natural for the jiva to do that which is not favorable for his bhakti. Now, on the other hand, the rules and regulations of devotional service are not to be, they're meant to evoke loving feelings for Krishna. So loving, even in the beginning, it's not that we're just following the rules and regulations, all of a sudden, ding, we hit the jackpot and all of a sudden we're in prem bhav. But from the very beginning, we follow the rules and hear about Krishna, and there's an why do we follow at all? Because there's some attraction to Krishna. Well, there may be different reasons. We may follow because I'm chaturvidha bhajante mang jana sukritino arjuna arto jignyasur artarati gyanicha paradarshaba. We may be following for various reasons, because we're distressed, desiring wealth, inquisitive, or in knowledge of Krishna. But it's not that everyone who's distressed or inquisitive or desirous of money comes to Krishna. Those who have some faith in and attraction to Krishna, they come in such a situation, they come to Krishna. So certainly we have to develop our attraction for Krishna. by hearing about Krishna, and feelings for Krishna are there. So yes, bhakti should be natural, but if we say natural, that doesn't mean breaking the regulative principles in the name of being natural. So the rising moon is there for tomorrow's Balaram Purnima. Balarama Chandra, the full moon of Lord Balaram, is arising. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita. Kakva Yest, isn't it? Something like that. I remember. I didn't look at the book. I remembered from last year. See, I have a